with my friend Kent Newman. And Kent, what is it you do and what is all this stuff on the table here?
Well, Sherlock, my job is that of preparer. And I think I have the best job of all because I get to go out into the field and excavate these bones and then prepare them in such a way they can be transported back to the laboratory and not be damaged. And then my next job is to get the rock off of the bones and expose them to a point where Dr. Jacobs and Dr. Winkler can look at the clues as to find out who these dinosaurs or mammals or amphibians were. Now, to do that, there are two ways you can accomplish this. The first way is mechanical preparation. Now, if you look over by you, there are some tools there. Now, the first big tool that I would use on a large dinosaur is this saw. Now, this saw here has diamonds on the blade. Now, I'll turn it on here. It's very loud. Now, I would use this saw to cut away large, heavy slabs of rock to expose the bone. Now, once that is done and only small amounts of the rock are left, then I would employ the next tool, which is the air scribe. Now, the air scribe that you're holding there is like a small air-powered jackhammer. And the tip of that air scribe goes up and down very quickly, and it flicks away little pieces of rock.
So it's a little like a miniature jackhammer.
Exactly, like a little jackhammer. Now, after I've used that tool on the specimen, I would go to the next tool.
Now, this is a covering here?
There's a rubber covering on that tip. Now, this tool is called an air pin. And this works the same way as the air scribe. It's like a small jackhammer, but it's a much finer jackhammer. It's very, very, has a very delicate stroke, and I can get very precise with it. Now, after I've used the air pin, then I go to the most
I'm sorry, Kent. You said these are air-powered. What are these hoses that...
Now, these hoses hook up to air sources, air lines that drive the tool mechanism that powers it. Now, once I've used those tools, then I go to the most delicate of tools, and those are the hand tools. And these are much like a surgeon or a dentist would use. Now, if you'll notice there, those tools laying on the table, these are very delicate chisels, very delicate tap hammers, very delicate dental tools like a dentist would use on your teeth. And these tools you would use exclusively under a microscope, where you were taking off the last remaining bits of rock or matrix. And again, you would do this under a microscope. And so it's very delicate work, and you have to be very careful because you can easily destroy the bone.
So you have to have the patience of a fisherman to do this.
And a really good microscope.
Okay.
Now, all the tools I talked about, they are for mechanical preparation. Now, the next type is called chemical preparation. Now, if you look at this beaker here, where my hand is, notice there is a rock in the beaker. And in that beaker, in that rock, there are some tiny, tiny teeth. And those teeth are so tiny that the mechanical tools are too rough. They're too powerful, and they would destroy them.
Because you don't want to damage
the
material.
So I must find a different way to get the teeth out. And I use what's called glacial acetic acid. It is a concentrated, very caustic, severe burning acid that will dissolve away the rock. And the reason we use this acid is that there are certain minerals in this rock that the acid will affect and will attack. And I'm going to give you a little demonstration of how this stuff works. Now, you might want to hold your nose. This is a little powerful smelling here. But I'm going to pour this acid in, and what you're going to see is vigorous effervescence, vigorous bubbling.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
like
here we go. Okay. Now, it takes a few minutes.
I'm waiting for the vigorous effervescence.
Well, perhaps it won't be as vigorous as I anticipated, but nonetheless...
It smells a little like vinegar.
It does smell like vinegar, and the vinegar you have in your house is much, much weaker, much more dilute. This is very caustic. I guess it's not effervescing as much as I anticipated.
So the point is, you wouldn't put this on your salad.
Exactly. It would burn your skin severely. But I can assure you right now that the acid is soaking into the rock and vigorously eroding away that material.
Well, we have a question.
This is from Bianca. And how does a fossil become a fossil? Well, when an animal dies, of course, its skeleton, its body, is going to lay out on the ground surface. And when it does that, it's going to begin to decay and desiccate, and, of course, the skin and all the organic material will rot away. But because there are hard substances in the body, like bones, like teeth, then they are going to be preserved if they're buried rapidly. Okay, and I'll talk more about that later.
So they don't just fossilize laying out there
in the
open?
In fact, most things never become a fossil, but that's why they're so rare and important. And speaking of fossils, I have brought a few others here that are laying out on the table. You'll note this fossil here.
I'm noting that fossil there.
Yes, that is this bone right here of a pterosaur.
A what a sore?
A pterosaur, a flying reptile. Now, these were not dinosaurs, these were flying reptiles, and that was their upper arm bone, right there. Now, this big bone in front of me here, this is another humerus, this bone up here.
Except bigger this bone up
much
there.
Much bigger. This is actually from a dinosaur called a nodosaur, which, for all you guys out there and girls who know who study dinosaurs, these are the armored, heavy armored things like ankylosaurus. I mean, these are very powerfully built, kind of like dinosaurian armadillos, okay? And this was found in Fort Worth. And so we have most of this skeleton back at SMU.
Ah. What is this black and...
This material, the color you see is indicative of the rock it was formed in. All the minerals in the rock impart their color to the specimen.
And that's the point to make. This is actually not bone, but
rock
that's replaced the bone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, once the bone is complete and it's been cleaned and it's ready for study, I need to preserve it. And so I would use this glue here, which is called PVA, which stands for polyvinyl acetate. And I would take the paintbrush and I would paint this glue on the specimen, and it will seep in and preserve the bone and harden it, which is very important.
So you don't like dunk it in this material or
exactly.
Use a roller.
Exactly. You paint it on very carefully.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kent. I do appreciate it. And now we have a dino quiz. And